Yeah. This is Alan Karpik with Tom Deanhart in our Saturday simulcast. It's a chat, but it's our we've been going position by position over the last 50 years of Purdue football and drafting our best players by position, in our opinion. Today's installation will be linebackers. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of allow you to build your own team, so to speak. And I want to thank our sponsors, of course, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue West, and Follett's Purdue Bookstores, I should say, East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, Home Field Apparel. We've had a good sale of our new knucklehead T-shirts, for those of you that are interested in doing that, and supporting the Purdue Center for Cancer Research, who's doing a fair amount of COVID research these days as well. And I want to say thanks also to First Source Bank, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, and all of our sponsors here at Golden Black. And Tom, I'm now going to take the mantle away from you. You're giving it back among me to pick first, which yeah. I know really does put some pressure on me to who do you want to pick first?
That's your choice.
And I am going to make that Purdue pick. Purdue is not, you know, linebacker has been solid for Purdue, but they've only, you know, in the last 50 years, only 7 first team all Big Ten guys, 13 second team all Big Ten guys in that group. And so that first team group is a pretty select group. And I, you know, you have to allow it not, you know, I'm couching myself here because of guys that we're going to have to take a little bit of license with this. The middle guards, are they linebackers, et cetera. But I am going to start that process and pick a guy that I saw play early on, had some injury issues, but was a terrific player at Purdue, a terrific pro. My first pick to stop up my middle would be Greg Bingham, all Big Ten middle guard. And he played with his two hands in the dirt some at Purdue, but he also was really a linebacker and a terrific player for the Houston Oilers as well. I may be clouded by that, but I'm going to start my team. He's a tough-minded guy and a really good player in that recruiting class. We talk often about that 1969 Purdue recruiting class and Dave Butts. You know, was it 7 or 8 guys? Was it? I should know this off the top. In the first 3 rounds, 3 drafted in the first 3 round. In the first round, of course, Stingley, Darryl Stingley, Otis Armstrong, and Dave Butts. Bingham drafted, I believe, in the 3rd round. Steve Baumgartner and Gary Hrivnak drafted in the 2nd round. But my point is, Bingham went on to be a great pro and was a terrific linebacker at Purdue and a first-team All-Big Ten level guy.
Yeah, Greg Bingham was a 4th round pick that year, Alan.
4th round, okay.
Right. Hrivnak and Baumgartner were 2nd rounders. Then you had a 4th, a 6th, and a 7th rounder. After Bingham, you had Brett Myers and Don Smith, 2 tackles.
Yep.
So I digress. I love track and draft history, but I digress. Excellent choice. I remember as a kid, Alan, we got 2 channels, CBS and NBC. And NBC always had the Bengals games on. And of course, they played the Oilers twice a year as a kid. I remember always watching Greg Bingham and being excited that he was an ex-Boiler and making all types of tackles for those Oilers teams in the 70s. Like you said, a classic throwback middle linebacker who had a great professional career. Boy, my choice, buddy. I'm gonna go to my era in college. I'm gonna go with Freddie Strickland.
Yeah, good pick. I really
from Ringwood, New Jersey. I remember talking to Kevin Sumlin once, who was a class of '82 out of Rebuff, a couple years older than Strickland. And they're in practice early in camp, Strickland's freshman year. And he knew after about 2 practices, hey, this guy's going to take my job. So this is a very talented individual who came in and had a huge impact for Purdue, Alan, as you very well know. He was one of those select and oh-so-rare Purdue first-team All-Big Ten linebacker choices that you talked about off the top here. And if you go to the record book, I mean – the stats back up Strickland as well. Still number 1 in Purdue history in career tackles. He's number 2 overall in total tackles. Of course, was a draft choice of the Los Angeles Rams. Had a very nice career out there for a number of years in Los Angeles. I think he played for the Vikings for a little bit too. But Fred Strickland, boy, a great linebacker. on some Purdue teams that weren't so great there in the 80s, but I always have special memories of old number 48 patrolling the middle of that defense.
Well, and Greg, you know, or not Greg Bingham, but Fred Strickland started his first start as a freshman, I believe, in that game, the dedication game of the Hoosier Dome. He was kind of an outside rush end guy, but developed into a really good inside player, and of course had a very good pro career as well. Yep. And I wanted to also say Greg Bingham was also Purdue in that recruiting class of 69 for Chicago, Gordon Tech, a great Chicago high school, and Purdue recruited very, very well. But, you know, Freddie Strickland, really talented, and a guy that, again, just developed into a very solid career at Purdue, and hard to argue with your pick there. I'm going to go also, and this is sentimental, but I think he's all-time football to me, and a first-team All-Big Ten level player, but I'm going to go inside and pick Brock Spack. And I know that Brock did not play in the NFL very long, though he did get a cup of coffee with the Cowboys and tried that out, went came back and coached, I believe, as the GA under Leon Burnett before he got involved in a number of places and hooked up with Joe Tiller. But Brock Spack was a very highly regarded high school recruit out of Rockford East High School, I want to say, but in Rockford, Illinois, and came in and really was brought toughness. What he's got, no matter what, Brock is on the all linebacker name list nationally. He should be, but also a terrifically talented player, all Big Ten level as a sophomore in 81. For Purdue, and that's pretty impressive as well. But Brock, a very solid Purdue career, and a guy that he just exude toughness. I'll never forget a great picture, and I don't know who took it, but Purdue had an unbelievably problematic loss, I believe in 1982, was it, to Wisconsin, where just gave the game away on a couple special teams mistakes late and a bad interception by Scott Campbell. And seeing a picture of Brock Spack kind of on his knees on the field mourning that loss. He took them all personally, but Brock Spack, a very, very good linebacker at Purdue.
Yeah, boy, number 58, right, Alan?
Yep, number 58.
I can still see him in that neck roll. His ever-present mustache, his trademark mustache.
Still ranks fifth in all-time in tackles, too, at Purdue.
Yeah, a special play, like you said, a great name, too, and one of my all-time favorites. Good choice there. Now, Alan, I'm going to go with my second pick. From my research, this is the only linebacker who's ever a two-time first-team All-Big Ten pick, Nico Koudavides.
Yeah, hard not to pick him.
From, of all places, Connecticut.
Yeah.
He matriculates from the Nutmeg State to West Lafayette and wasn't a highly touted guy, as I recall, maybe like a three-star type recruit. But, boy, what a linebacker. And, Alan, I tell you what, I know that 2017 Purdue linebacking crew, when you had like T.J. McCollum and Bailey and Bentley, was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't think Purdue's had a linebacking unit quite like the one they had there in the early 2000s. You had, what, Nico Koudavides, Landon Johnson, and you had Joe Odom and Gilbert Gardner, Alan. You're talking about four NFL players.
That's right.
Linebacking core. Nico arguably was maybe the best of them all. And that's probably saying something, because all three of those other guys were outstanding players too. Gilbert Gardner was a great freshman. I think he was a freshman All-American. I think he came as a wide receiver.
That's right. Switched to linebacker. That's correct.
But again, Nico Koudavides, I think he was picked by the Seahawks. Played in Seattle for a number of years. I think he bounced around, but I tell you what, if I have to go get into a street fight behind Chauncey Hill Mall, Alan, I'm going to take Nico Koudavides with me, okay?
I think Nico might have been in one or two of those, though I don't know that. And I really don't. I don't know. Nico might have spent his entire college career at church, for all I know. But Nico was a terrific talent. Came in early. I remember meeting him the first time. I think he and Brandon Hantz, I want to say, came in early together. I remember doing a photo shoot with those guys. But Nico from Connecticut, you said.
Yeah.
And I think Gary Emanuel. I'm not sure what Purdue's connection was to getting him here. Maybe Randy Melvin. I'm not sure Brian Newbert would know the answer to that. But Nico, a really talented guy. He had his own T-shirt line. I remember that. And I, before name, image, and likeness, I remember Nico talking to us about something about you. I'll bring the hammer, you bring the nail. And he had fans that wore that for Nico. Nico brought the hammer a lot in his days at Purdue, and I think you're well on to something there in terms of a guy that really came in and made a difference as well. All right, I will go back, and there's some interesting ones, kind of hybrid guys that you have to think about. We'll kind of hit those on the back end, and I think that it would be hard pressed just from a productivity. And again, I get skewed a little bit or flawed or fogged in by NFL, but Mark Brown, who was a junior college transfer, I believe under Jim, or I think Jim Young brought him in, but played for Leon Burnett in 1982 and 83. Came in also with another linebacker who you may pick, and that's David Fry. Both very talented guys. Mark had a boatload of tackles in that year, went on and played for a number of years with the Miami Dolphins, and was a very, very solid linebacker, made things happen in that defense for Burnett. The defense had struggled at times, but was pretty good. They had a couple of good pieces in there, and Mark Brown was one of those.
Great choice. I remember I got a chance to go to the Purdue football banquet as a junior and a senior in high school. I still don't know why Ernie Beck invited me, but I got to go. And I remember one of those years, I think Mark Brown was the MVP.
MVP, right.
I remember sitting in that big Union ballroom and probably with my suit that didn't fit, a piece of chicken and some green beans and drinking a glass of water or iced tea, you know, those Union meals.
Yeah.
I digress again. But anyway, great choice. You know, Alan, my third pick, don't you have to have Kevin Motz on your team?
Yeah, the numbers are hard to beat.
Hard to beat. I mean, you know, he's sort of like a Willie Fells kind of a guy. You can make a case for Willie Fells, too. Highly productive linebacker on some good defenses, made a ton of tackles. And as older Purdue fans recall, you know, you heard tackle by Motz over and over again over the Ross-Ade PA during those halcyon days of the Jim Young era. In the late 70s, I guess I have to. I know he wasn't a pro, but I tell you what, when he was wearing the old golden black, Allen, he was a centerpiece of a defense, which I'm sure was set up for him to make a lot of tackles. But he still made a lot of tackles. And as you know even better than me, that defense probably has not been replicated outside of maybe 2003 for Purdue since.
And he is the all-time career leader by a pretty good margin, almost 41 tackles over Fred Strickland. You know, Motz didn't start. He was actually recruited out of Mishawaka by Alex Agassi but started 4 years, I believe, in 76 through 79. Was 2 years with the junk defense. Just a guy, he kind of had that Brock Spack look to him in terms of that personality. I didn't know Kevin personally, but when I was around him a little bit, was very much that way. And a guy that really, really made it happen with numbers and a very good defense as well. All right, my three picks to date, I got to remember them now. Greg Bingham was my first pick. Hard guy not to pick from that standpoint. And Brock Spack, my second. Mark Brown, my third. And boy, I don't know. You've got some good ones, and I don't want to cheat too much on this one. But he did technically play linebacker at Purdue, and I am cheating a little bit. Achan Adell, who did play, like I said, they moved him back to defensive end. He was a very good linebacker in the NFL, but I'll take an Achan Adell. Sure. And I would have coached him up clearly on my team, and he would have made him a great linebacker. Achan is one of the great people, for first and foremost. I know you've had the chance to talk to him, but great ambassador for Purdue football and for Achan Adell, to be very honest. But I'm going to cheat and put him in my group. I'm going to talk about all the guys I missed, but I'd like Achan because I like the fact that he could play the outside. Physically, he was very, very strong, very intellectual player. and a guy that I think he's definitely worthy of consideration no matter what. And he did dip his toe at linebacker at Purdue.
Yeah, what a special player. I don't think he got to Purdue right away. I think he had to go to a JC, didn't
correct.
He?
Correct. He was in Joe Tindall's first recruiting class. That's right. Went to
from Grapevine, Texas, I think right near Dallas, and came to Purdue with 3 years of eligibility, I believe. And I remember him at the end of that Cincinnati game in 2001 over in the Queen City. I remember him knocking a pass down late. That was a real close ball game. Purdue got out of there with a win in Nippert Stadium. But I remember Odell making a big play late. And, boy, he was part of some really good defenses, as you well know, Alan, there.
And wore number 13, I like that, and really had a lot to do with stabilizing that very young group in 2000, Purdue's Rose Bowl team. When we talk about the, you know, the Sean Phillipses and the Craig Terrells and the Gilbert Gardinals and the Landon Johnsons, all these guys were freshmen or redshirt freshmen on that team, Stuart Schweigert. Aiken Odell was the grand old man kind of as a junior on that team, but a really, really good player. And he continued that through 2001 as well.
Yep. Yeah. Very special player. Good choice. You had a good foursome there, buddy. Boy, I'm torn. I can go a lot of directions with my final pick. And this one may be a little curveball for you. Okay. I'm glad you're sitting down for this.
All right. Okay? I'm sitting.
I think you're still working at Purdue when this guy played. I'll give you a little hint. He was a transfer from Iowa State.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Number 55, the late Darren Treib.
The late Darren Treib.
The late
right.
Darren Treib passed away a few years ago, tragically. He came. Phil Bennett was the conduit to get him to West Lafayette. I think Phil may have been at Iowa State.
That's right. And there was a lot of gnashing of teeth over that because Treib left Iowa State after playing a lot as a freshman, and Bennett comes to join Fred Akers' staff, and that caused a fracture between Iowa State and Purdue so much that they haven't played ever in college football. Well, that's not true, but Iowa State was upset that when Darren Treib transferred, because Treib is a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what high school, Tom, you may know, but he was a really good, really productive guy. And again, a cut out of that old linebacker mode that you brought that he brought to the table on some pretty and some decent defenses. You know, there were. Time they were maligned at times, but Fred Akers, Darren Treib did do some good things at the time that made him pretty salty, and I'd forgotten that Darren is no longer with us, and but a guy that made it happen early and often for Fred Akers' group in 1988 and 1989.
Yeah, and him to 90, he played 3 years at Purdue. Alan, he was the Big Eight Defensive Newcomer of the Year in 1986. So came to Purdue, sat out 87, and then played 88, 89, and 90 for Purdue.
Weber High School, by the way.
Weber, okay. He's still, you'll find his name still dotted throughout the record book as far as season tackles, career solo tackles, career tackles. And, yeah, you know, Akers didn't win a lot of games, but I was just thinking as you were talking about the personnel that defense did have. When at Treib, you know, you had Frank Komet, Jeff Scanina, Jim Swans.
Who could have been on our list?
Steve Jackson is the cornerback. Yeah. I mean, he still has some pretty good NFL caliber players there on those defenses of Akers in the late 80s. And Darren Treib was sort of that guy, like you said, in the middle, an impossibly thick neck. I would run through the wall and just make tackle after tackle. And it looked like he was chiseled out of granite. So I know time has probably forgotten Darren Treib. But, again, he was a special player who, again, Alan, I got Nico Koudouvidis and Darren Treib with me this time going to behind old Chauncey Hill Mall for my bro.
Yeah, and Darren had that little bit, that mentality. We got to know him a little bit as I was working in the SID office at that time, though I was more in marketing and promotions, but had some time with those guys. And Phil Bennett, if you knew Phil Bennett, still alive, and I owned Phil Bennett's car, if you can believe that.
Really? I didn't know
after
that.
After Lane Custer bought it, if you can believe it. And I got the third generation owner of that 1987 Nissan Sentra. And of course, Phil Bennett brought a toughness to Purdue, as did Darren Treeb. They were classics. All right, because I don't want to hog all of them. I'm going to pick three or four guys that are my honorable mention, and I know that I'm going to end up hogging some of them. But we mentioned David Fry, who ended up playing in the NFL, but a very active outside linebacker, kind of a rush end guy, but technically a linebacker. I think Marcus Bailey deserves consideration. He was second team All Big Ten in 2018. Purdue's first honoree or first or second All Big Ten, I think, since Gilbert Gardner, since 2003 or four, that time frame. Guys I loved, even though some people didn't and the coaches didn't at times, Mike Rose. He was so productive. He had to, in 1997, he had the three interceptions in the Northwestern game. I think he had a couple returns for touchdowns. He just made plays, drove the coaches nuts because he was the proverbial free spirit. But and then the other one, and we go to my West Side Heritage, and Chike O'Keefer, who did play linebacker for Purdue for 3 years. He was second team All Big Ten, I believe, in 1996. Very tough-minded before he changed from jersey number 34 to 54, sat out a year in 97, went and put his hand in the dirt. That's where he made his living in the NFL. Yeah. Chike was a pretty salty linebacker in his time for his first three seasons of eligibility at Purdue. I know you got some other ones out
there. Special play. I mean, he's a guy who started right away when he got to Purdue as well. Right. Chike was a huge recruit and an athlete unlike – West Lafayette's ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made some great – some other honorable mention guys. Eric Beatty.
Yeah.
Guy played a lot of bad teams, very productive. Jim Swans, we talked about. I mentioned Gilbert Gardner and Landon Johnson and Joe Odom. How about Stanford Kegler?
Yeah,
Who played in the NFL with the Bengals. Remember, he was a swimmer in high school too. Yeah. Willie Fells. Again, we talked about him a little bit. A guy from your era, maybe Fred Arrington. Highly productive linebacker, Juwan Bentley. One of the people.
James Looney. Big time tackler. Fred Strickland we've talked about this before, and you were probably, maybe 10, 12 years old. The hardest hit I've ever seen in Ross-8 Stadium was by Fred Strickland on Gary Forsteck. And, of course, Gary Forsteck at Notre Dame, the second string quarterback after Rusty Lish. And he almost, and I don't mean to use this flippantly, but he almost killed Gary Forsteck. Of course, Fred was the MVP of Jim Young's first team from 97. Laid him out in Outrout's number three, Joe Montana, for Notre Dame. Purdue leading by a couple touchdowns at that point, or at least did in that game. And then the rest is history, and NFL and Hall of Fame history, because Montana comes in, rallies the Irish to a victory, and goes on to lead Notre Dame to the national championship and goes on to be one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL with the 49ers. But Fred Arrington was a monster hitter. And he and I think Bo Strickland wore number 48. And I think that's good. And again, a guy that kind of obscure, Mark Eifert, was a second team All Big Ten guy in 73. You mentioned Juwan Bentley, and the last guy I'll mention is Anthony Haygood. 2008 was an offensive was a running back or a fullback kind of in Joe Tiller's offense. Moved off to linebacker and became a stopper in 2008. I think he was second team All Big Ten, but Anthony also well worthy of consideration. It's interesting, our list almost completely the same in terms of guys you mentioned. And I mentioned, but
I got a couple. I got two or three more, Alan.
Yep.
Still the number seven guy on Purdue's career tackle list. I talked about him a little bit earlier, Kevin Sumlin, right?
Oh yeah.
Was a freshman walk-on All-American, I believe.
Yes, he was. But
he stayed in the national profile with his coaching career. Gerald Williams.
Yeah.
I remember talking about when I was in college, a great pro from Las Vegas, Nevada. Boy, he was built to play in the NFL, 6'5", a rangy guy, a special player who could really get after it. Those two guys really sort of stand out. I think we should at least give them a tip of the hat, as they say, I guess.
Yeah, Kevin still ranks in the top 20 in all times in solo tackles, or he did leading it going into last year. You know, Jim Schwantz played a little bit of that rush end position, but got a chance to play. He's a great special teams player in the league.
Pro Bowl.
Cowboys and the Bears, I want to say. Another guy that don't want to overlook is Joe Odom. Joe Holland. And the pride of Indianapolis, the guy that just produced. He was undersized, kind of came to Purdue as a defensive back, moved up to linebacker, kind of in an emergency situation, got started as early on, I believe in 2008. Is a dentist now, has done extremely well for himself. But you look at him, a guy named Jason Houston, also in the 80s, it was a very, very good player. One of my all-time favorites, and you may remember him. I don't know if he was coaching at Crawfordsville High School.
Oh, yeah, Chevitello.
But Rick Chevitello, one of the great names for a linebacker who was a very productive linebacker from Purdue, went on to be the head coach at Crawfordsville High School, did start two or three years at Purdue, and
I had some buddies who played football for him at Crawfordsville. And one of my last guy, Tony Visco.
Tony Visco, who's a defensive end technically, but kind of that hybrid.
I talked to him last week, Alan, for my catching up that I'll post next week. He talked about that a little bit. But Tony Visco, his name's still on a lot of these records as well. We got into a conversation, too, in the 1980s there. Purdue had a raft of players from Canada.
Right.
He was one of them, and we talked about Willard Wells.
Right.
Willard Wells was a connection to Canada. Of course, Joe Tiller was on those staffs. He had connections to Canada as well. And we talked about all the Canadian players that were on Purdue's football team in the mid-'80s, Ernie Schraemeyer.
Right.
Dylan Payne. I mean, there were probably – we came up with seven or eight guys from Canada that were playing football for Purdue back then, and it was – it's kind of fun to remember that Canadian connection that Purdue football had there in the 80s.
Willard Wells was an interesting story, a kind of Purdue's recruiting coordinator.
Yep.
And he sadly committed suicide late in his career at Purdue. And one of those stories, it probably is a book somewhere, because I don't know. Willard was it was a scourge of mental illness apparently with him, but a guy that Joe Tiller would talk about from time to time, but really great personality. And you could see, you know, he's proud of, I think in that Canadian, there was that contact in Ontario, because Schraemeyer is from there, and Visco was from Mississauga.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep.
Outside of Buffalo, but
it's not far near Toronto in that area.
It was out of Toronto area, but I don't know, that was the connection. And of course, Joe Tiller was a Canadian Football League guy as well. But some really different ways of doing things that kind of spawned from from Jim Young to Leon Burnett to guys like Joe Tiller and Willard Wells, and brought some real flavor to this team. And I think those guys were all part of that, to say the least. So. All right, we've enjoyed this one. We still have quarterbacks to go, and we have offensive linemen, and that's about it, right? So
we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, as they say.
We'll continue this process as we enjoy doing it. Thanks for listening to us on the Saturday simulcast. We enjoy our chance to ramble on and relive some of the memories of some of our favorite players here at Purdue and at the linebacker position. I want to thank our sponsors, and of course that's Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's, and we're grateful to them for their long-term business, First Source Bank, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, Home Field Apparel. You can get your new your golden black merchandise t-shirts. We've got some of our vintage logo shirts and our knucklehead shirt as well. We just started the sale with that yesterday. And like I said, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus have been good to us as well. Kyle Charters hosts our Monday podcast, and and we appreciate him and everybody that East End Grill, Sixth Street Dive sponsor this podcast as well. So we'll look forward to doing this next week as we continue our countdown and our draft. I don't know what we're going to do for next year, Tom, but we'll come up with something.
Well, guys, think about that. We'll come up with, like you said, we'll come up.
Yeah,
with it.
We'll come up with something. We like to talk about Purdue football in the day, back in the day. So have a great rest of the weekend, all. And Tom, you do the same. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week on our Saturday simulcast.